If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. I want to start reading with verse 1. One thing I've learned that if you're going to be a success in life, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, everyone in life has an enemy, and his name is Satan. And you got to know how he reacts. You got to know what he does. If you don't know what he does, you can be caught pretty easily. He's not as smart as the church makes him out to be. As I've said so many times, he's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. He never tempts you in the spirit because he's spiritually dead. He only tempts you in the flesh. And if you crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday, you've heard me say that before, you don't fulfill the lust or walk in those areas that a lot of people say you have to do every day. That's simply not true. The gospel will protect you 24/7. And you need protection in a world like today, especially in the last days. I personally believe we're in the last generation. Now, if Jesus comes, if I go by the way of the grave, that's fine, or the rapture. Some people don't believe in the rapture, but I'm going out on the first load. I'll let you do what you want. Stay here if you want. I'll be back. Glory to God. Some people don't believe that. It's okay. I mean, I'm not here to homiletically, hermeneutically, philosophically, theologically change your way of thinking my way. Because I've learned that the gospel is like a mountain with many, many paths going. All paths reach the top. Think about that. Some people go around this side. Some people go around this side. But they really all come at the top. They all come into one. And that's what it's all about. But I've learned something that if you want to be a success, how many of you want to be a success in life? Spiritually, physically, financially. It's okay to be financially successful for God. Now, we've had to change 2,000 years of unbelief, and poverty is a curse. A lot of people think it's a blessing, but it's not. It's a curse. There's none of it in heaven whatsoever at all. None whatsoever at all. You won't find one poor person. None. Zero. Even your home's paid for. And it's not a trailer. It's a mansion. And God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he's going to give you a mansion in heaven, why wouldn't he give you one here? Well, I lost a few right there. You can tell when it hits, they go, ha, ha, ooh. Huh? Why would God change on earth? You see what I'm saying? That's simply not true. Now, you got to meet conditions to receive the things of God. I mean, if you want to be saved, you have to meet a condition. If you want to be healed, you have to meet a condition. If you want to be prosperous, you've got to meet a condition. See what I'm saying? You have to understand. Well, to understand Satan, you got to understand what he does and how he does it, when he does it, and where he does it. Luke chapter 4, the title of this message today is Strike 1, Strike 2, Strike 3. You out, devil. I'm going home. It's my ball. It's my bat. It's my game. I don't play 9 innings. I play till I win. Now, try to put that title on the tape. Glory to God. Strike 1, strike 2, strike 3, you out. Let's deal with that. I've learned something about the devil. He doesn't have any more than 3 temptations. The same temptation that he gave Jesus, he does it to you just in a different form. But you have to understand those things. So let's start reading Luke chapter 4, verse 1, reading out of the King James Version. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, knows the word full, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days did he eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said, did you notice the devil waited till he's hungry? Did you notice the devil never attacks you on the strong side? He only attacks you on the weak side. Bible said, let the weak say, I'm strong. There's only 2 sides to a person, a strong side and a weak side. So when you're strong, you're strong. When you're weak, you're strong. You're always strong because when you're weak, you're strong. Because when you're strong, you're strong. And when you're weak, you're strong. Because you're always strong. When you're weak, you're strong. You got it? Okay. He waited till Jesus was hungry, 40 days. I'm going to get in this camp meeting style in just a minute. I can do like Juanita. The Lord said, you all women. I can hoop it. Let me tell you something. I can hoop it. So I got some of my brothers out there. What's up, brother? What's up? Praise God. Hallelujah. I can hoop it. David worked for me. I can hoop, kind of David. I can do it. So. Mm-hmm, Lord. I'll get there after a while. Praise God. So notice the devil waited for him to be hungry. The devil said in verse 3, the devil said to them, if thou be the Son of God. What an amazing statement to him. He said, if thou be the Son of God. Now, why did he say, if thou be the Son of God? Because he didn't know. Satan did not know. You got to understand something. He'd been trying to kill this Messiah since he was judged at Eden. Jesus said, God said, one's coming, you will bruise his heel, and he'll bust your head, and he'll be born of woman's seed. How many of you have heard me say that? The most amazing thing about that is that women don't have seed. Men have seed. Did you see that? Women don't have seed. See, the devil was thinking sexual. He wasn't thinking. He was just thinking, well, man, anybody born of a woman, I can make them fall. But see, there's no such thing as woman's seed. Men have seed. Women don't have seed. Ladies, you need us for something. You're going to have a baby. You're going to need us. It's not Adam and Steve. It's Adam and Eve. You understand what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. All right, you understand what I'm saying? This is a little prelude here. This is not part of the sermon, but I'll just give it. It's a little prelude. If you're going to have a baby, you need to have a male and a female. That's just the way it is. Not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. Just that simple. But see, Satan don't know as much as everybody thinks he does because he's spiritually dead and you're spiritually alive. So he don't know. He figured Abel was that person because he was perfect. He said, that must be that Messiah. That must be that person. So he had Cain kill him. Been killing people all the time, missing it all the time. By the time he gets to Jesus, he don't really know. I can prove that to you. Because you see, he didn't even know till after Jesus died who he was. He thought he was just like what the Muslims think, a good prophet. Don't shout me down. A Buddhist, a prophet. But this was the biological son of Almighty God. Some people say, I don't believe that. That don't change. It's still the truth. See what I'm saying? You don't have to try to figure it out. He started out with an impossibility, a virgin birth, and he ended with an impossibility, a resurrection. Buddha hadn't done that. Muhammad hadn't done that. Anybody else done that. Only Jesus has done that. That's pretty good evidence that he's the son of God. Two impossibilities. Did you notice that? Born of a virgin and rose from the dead. That's about as good as it gets. Now notice that. He said, if thou be the son of God, command that this stone that it be made bread. Did you notice he asked Jesus to do something he could see? Notice that. He said, turn that stone into bread. He figured if he turned that stone into bread, he's got to be the Messiah. Why? He had to test him in the flesh. He can't test him in the spirit. He don't know how to do that. He's spiritually dead. He said, if he turned that stone into a loaf of bread, then I know I must be the man. Now Jesus said no, but he could have turned that whole mountain into a loaf of bread with a log of butter running down the valley. But he said no. Really a very simple statement. Just say no to the devil. Just no. Very simple word. N-O. First word you ever learned when you was a baby. You want some of this spinach? No. Baby, do this, man. Baby, let you know real quick what no is. He said, if thou be the son of God, he didn't know, command that it stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him and said, it is written, or it is logos, that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Strike one. Devil said, that didn't work. Let me try another one. Devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said unto him, now notice this, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. See, most people think the glory of God is the blue smoke. They think it's God. Oh, we want them. 95% of the time, the word glory in the Bible is translated wealth. The devil don't have no glory, but he had wealth. He said, this kingdom has wealth in it. Look what he said right there. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the wealth or glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Now, who delivered it to him? Adam. The first Adam, he said, it's yours. Because all things were given to man. All the works of God's hand was under man's dominion. Adam gave it over. He said, all this has been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If, there's always an if in Satan, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Thine. Now notice he said, hey, you looking for a kingdom? I got a kingdom. All you got to do is worship me. I got no nothing about it. Just do it on the back and the side. Run it like you want. Got money, got organization. You a kingdom man, aren't you? You coming for the kingdom? Don't you want that? Don't you want this? I got it, man. It's been delivered to me. I lay it in your hands. You be the CEO of the whole ball of wax. And all you got to do is worship me. That's it. It don't have to be public. Just between us. Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Or in other words, no. For it is written, or it is logos, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Strike two. He said, this ain't working. He's one of them Bible quoting people. He's one of them Bible quoting people, all quoting them scriptures. So the devil said, if he can quote scripture, I can quote it too. He brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the son of God, you see, he still don't know. Why? Jesus hadn't done anything he said. Did you notice Jesus didn't do anything he said? Just said no. He said, if thou be the son of God, he still don't know by verse 9. Cast thyself down from hence, for it is written. Since you're going to quote Logos, I'm going to quote Logos. For it is written, he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee. Now, how did the devil know that was going to happen? Because he read the Bible? No, because that was his job. Satan was an angelic being at the throne of God. Do you understand? He was a praise angel. See what I'm saying? Yeah, he was an archangel. He took care of that. If God moved in kind of way, he's going to make sure everything is working right. So he knew that. But he didn't know if that was the Son of God. He said this, it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering and said unto him, now I love verse 12, because in the King James translation, they translate it correctly. They amplified all of the other ones, translated, it is written. But in the King James, he goes, it is said. He goes from logos to rhema. I want to do a little foundation before I get into this. He goes from logos to rhema. You can speak the word of God. I mean, you can, you know, quote the word of God, you read the word of God, but when you speak the word of God, when it comes out of your innermost being, he said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Did you notice he told the devil whose God he's supposed to serve? See, Satan has a God. Satan can't do everything everybody says he can do. He is still under the authority of God Almighty. But the reason why he can attack so many people, because you open yourself up to him. You see what I'm saying? And God gave you a free will. You see what I'm saying? Some people just believe for sickness coming down. You know the flu come. Hong Kong flu come. My Lord, you live in San Antonio. You know how far Hong Kong is? And you're already believing for the Hong Kong flu and the swine flu? Lord, you want some pig flu? He says, it is said. He goes from logos to rhema. It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, buddy, you ain't the boss like you think you are. Strike three, you're out. Now, that was three different temptations right there that I want to deal with tonight. The Spirit of God quickened me to do that. And if you've heard some of this, you need to hear it more. And I'm going to get deeper in it. Number one, he walks up to Jesus. He says, I know you're hungry and you deserve to eat. You've been fasting 40 days. He said, my Lord, man, ain't nothing wrong. Why don't you just turn the stone into bread since you're the man? You understand? You're the man. You got the power. Why don't you just turn the stone into bread? And we'll all have a little French bread and cookies or whatever. You know, let's just enjoy ourselves. Jesus said, no. Now, here's his first temptation. Write this down if you're taking notes. Number one, never use the word of God for personal advantage. Write that down if you're taking notes. Never use the word of God for personal advantage. You see what I'm saying? Because, see, the word of God's going to work for you. You don't have to work it. It will work for you. But a lot of people like to use it for their own personal advantage. That's some of them slick willy people. You see what I mean? They slick willy. Well, you know, this and that. But you see, you never use the word of God for personal advantage. The word of God will work for you all the time, not some of the time. Now, a lot of people use the word of God for personal advantage. If anybody believes in spiritual fathers, I do. I really believe in spiritual fathers and spiritual sons. But I don't believe you have to pay to become a son. Don't shout me down. You see what I'm saying? I want you to listen to me for a minute. Nowhere in the Bible does the sons take care of the fathers. I find the fathers taking care of the sons. Isaac didn't take care of Abraham. Abraham took care of Isaac. Do you understand that? There's nothing wrong with giving a gift to your physical father or to your spiritual father. That's not the issue. But when you have to do that as a rule, then something is wrong. You're using the word of God for personal advantage. Strike one. That devil uses that temptation more in the ministry than any other, trying to use the word of God for personal advantage when it will work for you. You got to understand, he don't have any more. He's on the verge of Alzheimer's. Do you understand that? The devil ain't got a lick of sense. And if you don't say nothing, he won't remember. You're snared by the words of your mouth. Do you understand? You just shut up and walk on. He'll go. He'll be like an old man. Okay. He don't know what to do until you say it. Now, I want you to see this here. Because, you see, it's July 4th, and everybody ought to be free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So, Matthew, when they tell me I got to sin every day, I said, evidently, you hadn't read Romans 8. You hadn't read Romans 8, verse 1, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free from the law of sin and death because of the law of the life of Christ in my life. Somebody shout, somebody. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm going to believe the word of God instead of believe you. Now, don't get mad at me. It's not my fault. That's what Jesus said. So I don't use the word of God for personal advantage. See, a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, this could really help your ministry. I say, why don't you just tell me the truth? You want to make some money. Come on, don't insult my intelligence. Just tell me the truth. You want to, ain't nothing wrong with making money. You know, it's okay to make money. You serve a Jewish God. You understand what I'm saying? He ain't broke, neither should you be. Listen to me. Ain't nothing wrong with making money. Nothing wrong with receiving money. It's the love of money that's bad, people. It's not money. It's the love of money. But you see, it's amazing to me. People get mad. They say, oh, boy, I tell you, preacher shouldn't wear nice clothes and he shouldn't wear a nice ring or drive a nice car. You see, I had a Catholic person jump all over me because I have a jet. It's my second jet. I'm going to get another one pretty soon. We believe in God. I'm going to be on my third jet. I wear out jets. What do you want me to do? It ain't my fault. San Antonio's far from New Orleans. And you know, when I come into San Antonio, I don't want to go to Houston. I don't want to go to Dallas. I want to go to San Antonio. You understand? So if anybody understands Catholicism, I do, because I was christened and confirmed a Catholic. Lord Jesus. And this lady was so mad at me. I don't think you ought to have a jet. I said, well, what religion are you? I'm Catholic. I said, well, your boss got a jet. What you mad at me for? The Pope got a jet, bigger one than I got. What you mad at me for? He got a jet. If he can have a jet, I can have a jet. Lord. What's the difference? Why you don't like me, you like him. Let me help you out. In nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Get out of here. Oh, that's hard. Oh, I done made somebody mad. Look at my wife. She gets that. Oh. Ooh, Lord Jesus, I'm going to get some ugly letters on that one. Now, I respect the Catholic Church. I respect the Pope. But Lord Jesus, what are you mad at me for? He got a jet. The president got a jet. And we bought it. We bought that jet. Who do you think? You think George W. Bush bought that jet? No, you bought it. Well, he bought it too. He probably did. Yeah, taxes bought that jet. But I don't think they ought to have one. Why? Why? Why do y'all judge somebody about what you don't have? Don't shout me down. Won't you judge by what God has? See, but you don't use the word of God for personal advantage. Now, I drive. That's not the issue. The issue is God wants me running all over the world. What do you want me to do? Delta can't fly it. They wish to God they could. They'd make a lot of money, but they can't. See, so you never use the word of God for personal advantage. Jesus said, listen, I don't need anything you got, Satan. I already have of my heavenly Father. Are y'all enjoying this tonight? Strike one. See, because we're in the game of life, ladies and gentlemen. It's called the battle of life. You understand? I mean, there's going to be some pitchers thrown at you. Someone coming at your head, at your lady, trying to kill you out there. But I made up my mind, hallelujah, that God gave me more than just the sword of the Spirit. He gave me a shield of faith. He gave me a breastplate of righteousness. My loins are girded about with truth. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I don't have a cap of salvation. I got a helmet of salvation. You understand what I'm saying? I can bulldoze the devil with my head because he's got salvation. I can print it on his brain. You see my point? And it's all for the front. None of it's for the back. Why? Because, you know, the only person to tell him to get behind him is Jesus. See, Jesus was, and you totally protected all the way around, but your faith has to develop to the point to where you don't use the word of God for personal advantage. God will honor you and bless you if you allow him to. He can't give you what you can't receive. How many times God's wanted to heal people? Oh, no, Jesus, you don't understand. It runs in the family. I may have said this here before. When Jody bought her house, when they got married, they bought their home. Do you understand? They had a nice home. They bought them a nice house. And me and Kathy was looking for a house gift. You know, we wanted to be a blessing to them. So, you know, we just go over to the house and kind of look around. Because, you know, when it takes all the money it takes to get in the house. You know, you're young and you put sheets up on the windows because you ain't got no drapes. You know, and you just get in the house and, you know, that's how it is. You know, and then you start buying your furniture here and then all that kind of stuff. So I found out she wanted a little oriental rug, you know, for her foyer. So I said, Kathy, Jody didn't want that oriental rug. Why don't we buy that for the house again? She said, that sounds good. So we went over to the house. I said, Jody, me and your mama want to do something. She said, what, Daddy? I said, we want to buy that rug for you. Let's buy that rug for you. That'll be our house gift to you. This is your first home. It's a blessing. Y'all all excited. She goes, oh, no, Daddy, can't let you do that. You know how much that rug cost? That's an oriental rug, Daddy. Can't let you do that. I said, okay. Got my car and I went home. She's choking. See, in her mind, the devil done told her that she thinks that I think she's asking me for that rug. I didn't know. I'm just trying to be daddy. Just trying to be El Shaddad. That's all. Just trying to be dad. About 6 months later, Lord, gee, I'm walking in and them sheets are still on the windows. I said, Jody, why don't you just call the drapery man and do all your drapery, all your window treatment. Just go buy all your fabric. Do anything you want. I don't care. And just send me the bill. I'll drape up everything in the house. Just want to be a blessing. She goes, oh, no, Daddy can't let you do that, Daddy. Oh, no, that costs too much money. You know how much money that costs? I can't let you do that. Okay. Got my car and I went home. A year later, A year later, she picked me up in her car. Her and Ed, they were taking me and Kathy out to dinner. Had that car, what's it called? An Infiniti. Is that what they call, Kathy? An Infiniti car. Never sat in the back of one of those cars. That's a really nice car. So I'm sitting back there and I'm saying, Jody, this is a nice car. You like it, Daddy? Me and Ed, you know, this is the best car we can buy. We love this car. We ain't gonna never get rid of this car. You know how that all is. Oh, Lord, that is so nice. I said, well, Jody, it's a very nice car. Yeah, this is doing good. Thank you, Mr. Jesse. We really like it. And we stopped at a red light. I said, Jody, where did you finance this car at? I said, who owns the mortgage on this car? What? And she said, oh, that bank right there. It was a bank, you know, where they financed their car. I said, Jody, why don't you drive over there and I'll just pay off your car? She said, let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Come on there. Hey, Lord, let the Lord lead you, Daddy. Just let the Lord lead you. What's wrong with that? You've heard me say that before. My point is this. All I'm trying to do is bless this kid and she won't let me. All God is trying to do is bless everybody in this building. He is not El Shaddai. He is El Shaddai. He's the God that's more than enough. Lord, he want to bless you in the city. Bless you in the field. Bless you going in. Bless you going out. He want to make you an offer you can't refuse. Why would you refuse it? We stopped in New Orleans coming off the ship because I wanted Pastor Hagin to eat in New Orleans. And when he sat down, he didn't say this, oh, I'm not worthy, Jesse. No, I'm not worthy. We can't eat this New Orleans stuff. Take me back to San Antonio where I can just eat Mexican food. No. He enjoyed the food, and I'm glad he did. What's wrong with that? Well, it had anything to do with just using the word of God for personal, just wanting to be a blessing. And you know, after I paid that car off, I paid it off that day. She said, Jody said, hey Dad, is that rug and curtain deal still out there? I said, Jody, that money's been in the bank for over a year waiting for you to receive it. How long has your healing been waiting to receive? How long has your happiness been waiting to come? You see, all you got to do is tell the devil, no. 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 I believe that everybody understands that word in any language. No. Never use the word of God for personal advantage. That's all he's got. Number two, he goes, wait a minute. I got to appeal to another side of who he is. He's kingdom minded. He's in the organization. He needs finances because he did receive offerings. You know, Jesus did receive offerings. Did you notice that? Y'all didn't know he received offering. He received offering all the time. Yeah. He wasn't poor. He had 12 full-time staff. Some of them were married. He had 70 part-time. Lord, gee, man, you ought to read the Bible. You understand? They gamble for his clothes. You don't gamble for rags. You might gamble for this suit because it ain't a rag. This from Italy. That's all I'm going to say about this suit. So he tries something else. He says, I tell you what, let's go in business together. Ain't nobody got to know nothing. What's the difference? You're looking for a kingdom, I got a kingdom. Run it like you want. It's got money, it's got organization, it's got power. All you got to do is worship me. Strike two. Watch this. Write this down if you're taking notes. Never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end. Now, I'm not talking about being a sinner's friend, because that's a different thing. You're reaching people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting together and say, look, you're a man of substance. We need some money. Even though it will help your ministry, you do not associate with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end. Because the Bible said in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, blessed, empowered to prosper is the man that walketh not. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't care how much money they got. And even though they say, we'll get your ministry here, get your ministry there. No. You don't associate with wicked people, even for the attainment of good end. That's temptation too. He's trying to get Jesus into his organization. I have a lot of friends of mine of all different persuasions. I'm a fairly decent businessman. I ain't the best, but I'm not the worst neither. But I want, when I go into business with somebody, I want to know what's going on. I want to know A, I want to know Z. I want to know what you're doing in your personal life because you might hinder my blessing. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And one thing I hate is this. Man, if you get involved in this, you'll get your money back. Get my money back. What did you say? Get my money back. And he thinks that's a good statement. They say, get my money back. Well, my God, if I want to make sure I get it back, why don't I just keep it back? So you don't have to give it back. I'll just keep it back and I'll have it back so you can go about your business. I don't want to just get my money back. I want to go into business. I want to make some finance. Well, to accomplish my destiny and reach my destination. You see, I got a job here. I have to make an inheritance for my children's children. And they're not even born yet. Do you see that? That's an obligation that's in the scriptures to every individual in this building. That a good man, and you a good man, Matthew, makes an inheritance for your children's children. So you got to do that. Your daddy got to do that. Your kids got to do that if you ever have some. Just trying to help him out there. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I got the mic last, so I ain't worried about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, that's what the white hair does for you. That's the white hair. Praise God. See, but that's an obligation that God says you need to do. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, first thing first, you don't go in business with Satan. I've had some of the wealthiest people want to get involved in my business. Everything I touch prospers. Reverend, what about this? Why don't we do this? You know, you got a mailing list. You can do, oh, Reverend, what we can do? No, no, no. Who are you? You see what I'm saying? Because I realize, even though it might accomplish what I'm looking for, but you can take it to the bank. Satan's going to show up. Why? Because you did him a favor. And it's going to come back somewhere, somehow. Because nothing's ever free. You ever heard of free television time? Yo, mama. Oh, they'll get you in. Then after they get you there for about 6 months to a year, they'll say, now listen, you know, we gave you all this money. Why don't you take by this time? And before you know it, it's all a bait. Come on. So let's just talk business here. Well, first thing, I want to know, what is your personal life about? I never forget one time at a bank, I went to this bank, well, this vice president asked if I would put the finances of Jesse the Plants Ministries and Jesse and Kathy's personal finances into this bank, one of the banks there in the city of New Orleans. And I said, well, take me to dinner, let me think about it. It was a wonderful thing to say. It was great. I loved it. Take me to dinner. He said, okay, I'll take you to dinner. Took me to dinner. And we got to talking and all that kind of stuff. Make a long story short, he said, you know, Reverend, he said, we've been having a little problem. Now, I want you to listen to this. We have a little problem with getting new accounts and all this kind of stuff. See, if you're a minister or a doctor, people kind of begin to open up to you. You know, they begin to tell you some personal things that maybe you don't need to know. I don't know, but they'll just tell you. And he's the vice president of the bank. He said, you know, we hadn't had seen as many as new accounts in our bank here. This was a new bank coming in. I said, are you a partner to my ministry? He said, excuse me? I said, is your bank a partner to my ministry? He said, well, no, sir. I said, that's your problem. I said, the anointing of increase is on me. You know why I know that? Because you're taking me to dinner. You want something I got. Right? He said, that's true. I said, that's your problem. I said, do you know everything I touch prosperous? Do you understand that? I said, you'd have got to have been a partner with this ministry. Bless God, you'd have more accounts you know what to do with. He just looked at me. I said, when are you having a board meeting? He said, Tuesday. I said, talk to him about it. He said, okay. Now, I didn't know if he was or not, but about a week and a half later, I got a check in the mail for $500 from the bank. The bank sent me some money. Want to be a partner to your ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, within 4 weeks' time, they had a record of new accounts in their bank. That vice president said, my God, Reverend DePlanc, it's amazing. I said, just think what would have happened if you'd have sent 1,000. He didn't know how to handle that. I said, 10,000, maybe 100,000, million, don't make no difference. I said, the figures are all relative. I said, when you hook up with something that's clean, something that has holiness in it, something that understands God, you heading for success so fast you can make your head spin. Not only in the financial realm, but in the spiritual and the physical realm, in every facet. You see, so I never associate with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end. And I've had some major dollars put on the table. I had one guy say, I want to handle your videos. I said, I guess you do. I guess you do, but why should I do? I said, I got more outlets than you do. I mean, I was born at night, but not last night. What you got? Let's talk. He said, well, let's pray. I said, you don't want to pray, brother. You're talking dollars here. Come on, let's talk business here. Then we're going to pray. So he talked his business, and I'm going to find out in prayer if he really is what he's praying to be. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm going to stand before God. And you know what he's going to say? What have you done with my money? You know them parables about the 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent? Let me tell you, he's coming for an accounting. I have to make an accounting of that. There are a lot of people that support my ministry, $10, $20 a month, that they need that money. But they're giving because they love God. I have a responsibility to make that seed grow back to them 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's my responsibility. And I don't take that lightly. So when I stand before God, Pastor Hagin, I want God to say, well done. I don't want him to say, well. Or is it hell, Jess? Which one is it here? You see what I'm saying? Because an accounting is coming. Whether you believe it or not, still the truth. So he looks at Jesus. He still don't know he's the Son of God. He doesn't know because he's a flesh devil. He didn't find out till after Jesus rose from the dead. How do you know that? He said it himself in Corinthians. He said, if we'd have known, we'd have never crucified him. They didn't know. Be surprised how much the devil don't know till you tell him. You see my point? So number one, never use the word of God for personal advantage. Number two, never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of a good end. The devil said, that ain't working. I can't get in business with the man. He's got it all connected. Wait a minute. Let's deal with him on his scriptural side, on that God stuff that he loves so much. Takes him up on the pinnacle. He said, hey, you really the Son of God? You say what you are. Why don't you just throw yourself off? Didn't your angels say that he would give you charge over you and you wouldn't hurt your foot? Write this down. Temptation three. Watch this. Jesus said, no. What was that temptation? Never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Write that down. Some of you taking notes. That's all the devil's got. Strike one, strike two, strike three, you out. Every temptation from that hunk comes from that center of three. Never use the word of God for personal advantage. Never associate yourself with wicked people for the attainment of a good end. And number three, never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Just because you have the power to do so doesn't mean God told you to do so. See what I'm saying? Jesus said, no, I'm not doing that. You hear a lot of people do that a lot of times when they're trying to show people how much power they got in God. Even the devil tried that same thing on the cross. He said, hey, you see, through the thieves. He said, listen, you're the Son of God. Why don't you take yourself off, take us off, save ourselves. See, he had the power to do that. Jesus said, no, I have a destiny and a destination. You never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Now, pastor has called me the apostle of joy because you have acknowledged me like that. And because of your great integrity in the body of Christ, if a church is having bad trouble, they say, John Hagin said, Jesse Plannis is the apostle of joy. Let's get him over here because we need to do something in this church. We are dying here. And that's a wonderful thing. But you see, if you're just using a gift to be used, you're missing the whole point. You got to get the whole, you can have it all. People say, what gift of the Spirit is the best? It's the one that needed at the time. If you need a miracle, use the gift of miracle. If you need a healing, use the gift of miracle. If you need gift of discerning of spirit, that's what you use. Gift of prophecy, gift of interpretation of tongues. Whatever. You use whatever's needed at the time. Now, the anointing of increase is on me, so I got a lot of people calling me and say, let Jesse the planet take that off. Lord Jesus, I tell you, he can bring in more money than you can shake his nigga. You see, now you've done monopolized something that's a very holy thing. You can't do that. I had a guy tell me one time, I'll never forget it. Glory to God. He said, Jesse, you can play that piano like Jerry Lee Lewis. I said, you think so? Yeah. He said, I want you to go out there, kick that piano stool out. Kick it down, boy. Bah! And then we're going to hit him for an offering. Exact words. So I got out there, I said, I'm going to play that piano. I'm going to tear that sucker up. I went out there, man. I kicked that piano stool out. I tell you, that thing almost caught on fire. We were just, bah, 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 just beating that thing. People went screaming and hollering. I could see him going, I said, ladies and gentlemen, we're about ready to receive the offering, but to tell you the truth, we don't need any. We ain't receiving any at all tonight. No money will be given to this church tonight. He goes, I looked at him and smiled, said, you're on your own, baby. I am not going to do those things. Why? Because that's performing a godly act in a prideful spirit. That's using the word of God in a personal advantage. And I realize he's trying to associate with me to try to get something when all you got to do is trust God, believe God, and watch God do miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Are you enjoying this tonight? I want you to see that for a minute. Jesus just told him to get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. An offense. I love that. See, I don't struggle with the devil. Let me say that. People get mad at me when I say that. Why would I struggle with an enemy that's already defeated? I'm not going to fight somebody who's already defeated. He's under my feet. If I have to talk to the boy, I have to lift my shoe up. What you want? Now, some people are afraid to say that. Oh, but judge, you better not say that. You might make the devil mad. What you think I've been trying to do for 27 years? I ain't worried about him. He worried about me. Do you know something about the devil? He don't care if you go to heaven or go to hell. He cares what you're doing here. Man, if you're a powerhouse for God, let me tell you something. This man is hurting the devil. The devil don't care if Pastor Hagin go to heaven. Just get him out of San Antonio. Get him off the earth. Let him go to heaven, enjoy himself. They won't have to fight. Lord, he's destroying it. And if he goes to hell, it doesn't make a difference. See, he's not. But anyway, where John is hurting him is here. The devil would love to see us go to heaven. He said, go now. Y'all go. You want me to prove that? Rapture, tribulation. After the rapture, trouble like you ain't never seen. Why? Because this hindering force called the church can't stop it. We're gone. What are y'all doing? We eating dinner. For 7 years and not get fat. I'm talking eating, boy. Just eating. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For 7 years and not gain no weight. Just keep eating and eating. Just enjoying yourself. Glory to God. Woo, Lord Jesus. Hey, go ahead. Yeah. Good stuff. Ow. I tell you what, you'll see Matt with a bowl of chips and salsa. Ah, yeah. You'll see me with crawfish sucking their heads. Sucking their head. Glory to God, man. Enjoying ourselves. That's why you need a glorified body. It don't have cellulite. It don't have these little rolls that are back here. You see them rolls right there? No, it's got a six pack. Nice. I want to have these wrinkles. These are cracks, actually. Hallelujah. It's a little loose. It's a little loose. I know. So what? Who cares? I don't care. Tell you something about these glasses. These things are wonderful as you get older. People say, they're a curtain. No. You say, honey, you look so good. Lord, Jesus, mama, let me, honey, you look as good as you did when I first, but Lord Jesus, let me put that down. I say, you look, they better keep them glasses off, son. Woo! Hallelujah, glory to God. So I don't use the word of God for personal advantage because the word of God is a personal thing to me. It will work for me. I don't associate with wicked people. I never associate with, even for the attainment of a good end, even though it might get what I'm believing for. And number three, I never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. That's three temptations Satan's got. He don't have any more. You see what I'm saying? He's finished. He's been so defeated, and the church keeps propping him up. Keeps propping him up. Better watch it, the devil love to get you. He's defeated, restricted, rejected, awaiting confinement. Don't ever protect your fear. Let it go. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Don't protect that fear. Have enough guts to say it out loud so you can convince yourself. You may have to convince yourself. Go look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm believing. I think I'm believing. Just after a while, you're going to have to believe what you say. Because you're going to have what you say. I had a man tell me this one time. I'll never forget, right before I started the service, before they were going to give it, we was in the back with the pastor. He said, bro, Jess, I've been fighting the diabetes for a long time. He said, you know, it runs in our family. I said, it does. He said, yeah, it does. He said, it's wiped out most of our family. I said, that's terrible. He said, sure is. Can't wait to hear you preach tonight. Shook my hand, went out. During the altar call, he came up and he says, man, I sure wish. Watch this. I sure wish God healed me. Now, he ain't believing, he wishing. Believe is not wishing. I said, you know, you have powerful faith. I said, you have more faith than anybody in this whole church. He said, you think I do? I said, did you believe for diabetes? Oh, did you? I said, when you didn't have it, was you believing it? He said, well, yeah, tell the truth, yeah. You know, because I heard my dad and everybody say, you know, that it follows our family. I said, did you have it at that time? He said, no. I said, my God, man, your faith works. Don't pray for me. Now, I don't mean that to sound rude. I don't mean that to sound hard. His faith worked. He got diabetes. I said, now, why don't we turn that faith around and let it work for you instead of against you? Now, I'm not denying that your family had all that. I'm not denying that. But you're not genetically linked up with your family if you understand the gospel. You're genetically linked up with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he don't have diabetes. He don't have lung cancer. He don't have heart trouble. He don't have those things. Do you understand that? Now, that's the word of God. Now, here's what you're going to get. Yeah, but. Now, you need to get your butt out the way. That's the biggest butt you'll ever see in your life. Because the minute you say but, you change everything you just said. See, the devil goes, you see, I told you they didn't believe it. Now, I don't mean that to sound just to get your attention, but listen to me. Satan can't do nothing you can't believe for. Now, I'm going to say this. I can do, there are some things that I do, Satan don't even believe it, man. He ain't got no faith. He don't even fight me over it. And some of you may have heard me say this before. In 1978, the Lord said, I'll give you a worldwide television ministry. I was in a Toyota Corolla. I didn't have enough money to fill up the tank. Had 8 gallons. 13-inch tires. They wore out real fast because they had to go, you know, 3 or 4 times more than the average tire. Little top. You know, Pastor Hagin, he didn't fight me. Didn't give me any hindrance at all. Went on my first television station. He didn't believe I was going on worldwide television. You see, I can say something he can't believe. He's spiritually dead. All of a sudden, when we blew through his house, because he's the prince of the power of the air, and that signal goes through the air, he said, my God, he's doing it. He's doing it. But it was too late. You see, you can say something he can't believe. And there's a lot of things you say he can't do if you say what Jesus said. Are y'all enjoying this? See, when you understand it, balcony, listen to me. When you understand it, do you know if the rapture comes, you get there before we do? Because you're higher than we are. It's a blessing of God. I've had many opportunities to fail. I just don't take any. I've had many opportunities. Do you understand? They've been trying to kill me for years. I mean, I don't like it. And it ain't fun. And I'm not stupid. But my Lord, I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I commit to him that day. And I commit this body because death and life's in the power of my tongue. And greater is he was in me than he is in the world. And God be for me. Who could be against me? And I say that now. Be thou removed. Be thou cast in the sea. Not doubt my heart. Believe those things that I say shall come to pass. I'm going to have whatsoever I say. It's mine. It belongs to me. I'm not asking for nothing that doesn't belong to me. I only want what belongs to me. That's it. And the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. And Jesse's an heir with the Father. Mm-hmm. And a joint heir with Jesus. So bless God, it's mine. So don't get mad at me if I got a little bling bling on it. It's mine. It's mine. It belongs to me. Some of my friends are afraid to wear it when they preach. So that's why they praise God like this. But I like to praise God like this. Hey, glory to God. Do you understand? Are you bragging? Yes. Not on me. Now I'm showing you something you can see. That's why it connects. If you think I'm overbalanced, why did God dig it out the ground, stick it on top of the ground so Adam could find it? It says it in Genesis. Find gold. Just lay it on top of the ground. I'm pretty sure Jesus would go, can you believe it? Yeah, believe it. Can you? I'm trying to bless them, Father. I understand, son. Same thing with Jody, just trying to be a blessing. That's it. Now, I've learned something about Kathy. Kathy works it right. We go shopping. She go look for something. She walk around, you know, and I follow her. She'll grab a dress or see something like that. She'll go, ooh, oh, oh. That means it's expensive. Oh. She ain't never done that at Walmart. Never done that. Just go into Walmart, get what we want, come out. I tell you what, man, Kathy shops in Walmart like I shop everywhere. Foop, foop, she's out. But when she go to Escada and Chanel and St. John, Salvador Ferragamo shoes and all that other kind of stuff. She go, oh, 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 just, oh, just look at me, oh, oh, oh. I'm thinking, what's the problem here? She said, isn't that a beautiful dress? I said, yeah. She said, oh, it's so expensive. I said, would you like to have it? I said, would you like to have it? Do you want me to have it? Do you want me to have it? Oh, that's what I live for. Yes, I want you to have it. And the shoes. And she's not greedy. That ain't got anything to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. She knows what I can do. And she pulls upon that. That's not greed. That's marriage. Shout, ladies. I'm setting you free here tonight. Hey! What she's doing. Look at Matthew. He's hurting right now. Go, hey, look at his wife. Watch a woman. No. That's false. That's false doctrine. No, it ain't. In other words, she's doing, watch this, what she has a right to do. All I'm doing in my Christian life is what I have a right to do. And I have a right to be healed. And I have a right to be saved. And I have a right to be full of joy. And I have a right to be blessed. And yet people go, now they want me to live like by their conviction, and I refuse to do that. I'm going to live by the conviction God gives me. There's therefore now no condemnation who are in Christ. Who doesn't walk after the flesh? Now, I'm not talking about just buying stuff so you can show off. I don't do those kind of things. I just do whatever I want to do. I'll tell you something. This man, last week, he was the head of the ship. When you were John Hagee, you're going to eat the best because you eat at the finest restaurants. I mean, I'm throwing the ship. You know what me and John ate most of the time? The Lido deck. John said, where them hamburgers? I said, down there. Man, we go down there and get them French fries and ham. We eat them before Diana get there. I'm sorry. I forgot. We had a great time. How many times we sat down and ate dinner and they say, well, you're not eating very much. Just not very hungry. We like that. Now, all that food is there. We had a right to it. It would have been stupid to be up in a room and say, Jesus, I'm hungry. Go to the Lido deck. Oh, Jesus, I'm hungry. Go to the Lido deck. Jesus. He went to the Lido deck. Go to the Lido deck. Just go get the food. I like this sermon. I'm going to buy the tape myself. I'm enjoying myself. I got to hurry here. Now, when you understand that, you figured out your enemy. Listen to me, you'll defeat him every time instead of some of the time. Now, the minute you think you try to do that in the flesh, he'll kill you. Because you see, he's very well informed in the flesh, but you don't live in the flesh. Your flesh is dead. That's why I can't commit adultery. I know some of y'all freaking out. Take heed when a man think he stand, let him fall. You sound like the devil quoting scripture. Take heed when a man think he stand, let him fall. Take heed when a man think he stand. What's wrong with your bad self? Let me tell you how you shut down sexual immorality. One word. No. One word. The same word that Jesus told the devil. Say, what's up, baby? Nothing. Would you like to have some company for the evening? Nope. And if you're on a date and you're young and you done fogged up the windows, don't act like y'all fogged up the windows out of there. Look at it. Don't lie. You're in church, girl. You're in church. She going like, don't talk to me. I don't want to answer that question. A lot of people fog up their windows. Look at everybody. Look how quiet y'all going. You just stop and say no. Now, some of you Baptists got a little hard problem with that because you don't speak in tongues. I promise you, if you got them windows fogged up, go, kubo-bo-shaka-ba-ka-do-lo-kubo-ba. You go, that shut her down, buddy. Let us pray. All you got to do is start praying in the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you, son. It's over. Boy, I can tell you, church. Boy, I hit the right thing, didn't I? Look at that church back here. Let me go back here. You get some of these big sinners back here. All in big. Hey, hallelujah. Somebody shout for me. Come on. Oh, I'm out the television light.
How many pictures do you want of me?
That's okay. You can see it. Do you love me? I'm just joking. Give you a hard time. Praise the Lord.
See, it doesn't make any difference when you're free.
Look at it. I bet you don't get up the rest of the night. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's insane. I'm giving you a hard time. Just play. Praise the Lord.
You see, can I say something and I'll close with this? Where you going?
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Glory to God. Well, I tell you what, when you get out here, everybody start moving, man. You know, one time I was doing this, the anointing of God came on me, Pastor Hagin. Boy, I was on me, Diana. I mean, the power of God. And I tell you one thing, Spirit of God, as I was walking and that anointing on me, I just stopped and said, you, sir, you committing adultery with that woman right there. Was you there? No. You heard that one? Boy, when I did that, I mean, it just came out of me. The pastor jumped to his feet. He went, oh, come on, Musa, come on, come on, come on. And he was sitting with his wife, and she was sitting with her husband. And all four of them jumped up, I guess. So, what was you thinking, Brother Jesse? Rapture right now. Please. Please, Jesus. And I mean, the anointing of God was on me, boy. And they went, it's true. And the pastor went, oh. We've been wife swapping. I said, come and repent. And who knows? That could happen today. Look at those people.
I need to get myself out of here.
Hey! Look at some of y'all. Y'all praying right now. Baptist, speak it in tongues. I hope I ain't messing up the tape. Praise God.
I mean, God does some things like that. If you want to know where that happened at Trinity Assembly of God in Bastrop, Louisiana on a Wednesday night. I don't mind saying that. People got saved, got repented. Thank God, God. Now, I tell you, I didn't like it. I got back to the hotel. I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come here. I said, don't ever do that again. It almost gave me a heart attack. Oh, God. But it happened so fast under the anointing of God. So. I bet you my hair went just like y'all's. Hey! Let me close with this, young man. Your spiritual activity, or our spiritual activity, reaches its greatest intensity. Listen to me. Our spiritual activity reaches its greatest intensity when we are so filled with the glory of divine righteousness, divine love, divine power, that we are only conscious of God and all thought of ourselves is lost in Him. You see, when you're full of divine righteousness, divine love, divine power, you're only conscious of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when temptation comes, it has no place to fit. Now that's spiritual intensity. And you do that daily by stirring up the gift of God. I've heard some of your offering teaching just before, when I've been here, and it stirred me up. I almost would say, finish it, Matthew. You know what I mean? Because when you're spiritually intense, you love lightning. You like power. Wah-yah! Something quick, something that you heard, and you know, it didn't just tickle your ears. You take it outside of this building and you apply it and use it for the master's use. You see my point? Yeah. And I've heard that. I've heard Pastor Hake. Sometimes I've seen him on television. I watch him, you know, I'll get home and I watch, and he'll say something. I say, stay there, John, stay there. Stay there. I said, Lord, help him stay there. And I've seen him back away. And I'll tell you one of them, please just go at it. That was for me. Because you see, I'm taking that. And I'm taking it outside. It's not, see, I've learned not to be selfish with the things of God, with the revelations of God. I want everybody to get this. You tell till the devil just says, I quit. He didn't know you. It's over. See my point? Yeah. I close again. I'm gonna do it. I got it, man. I can go for hours. I got to watch myself, Lord. Thank you. I appreciate that. Glory to God. Okay. You see, I remember when I got born again. If you don't like the way he's born, try it again. I just touched this thing. I just barely touched it. I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I smoked a little dope a week. I snorted cocaine, PCP, crystal, amphetamine. You name it, I did it. I took trips and never left my house. Just gone. This is before I was saved. You looking at a good sinner before he was very good at it. I was a master. Satan cried when I got born again. We have lost a great man. I don't know. How are we ever going to replace this boy? I'm not going to lie about it, John. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed drinking. I enjoyed all that stuff. Enough to kill you. I'd come home and Kathy say, unbutton your shirt. I go, and there's purple splotches. And my heart going, dum, 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 dum. Enough to kill you. Thank God I was young. I think that and of course God protected me, I'd have died. You mix, doctor, you know what I'm talking about. But you're not that kind of doctor, though, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, I could touch that, but I ain't going to touch that. No, I'm going on. Let me go over on this side over here. Glory to God. But you don't mix that kind of stuff. That stuff will kill you. Matthew said, what are we talking about? It ain't birth control pills, I'll tell you that much. So what happened was, I'm talking drugs here, hard drugs. All right, every ex-drug addict, stand up. If you're taking drugs, stand to your feet and don't lie. You know what I'm talking about. That's a lot, huh? Now, this is Texas. All of y'all ever drank, stand to your feet. Watch this. If you drank at least one beer, anything, any liquor, stand up. I know. Remember the Alamo, yeah. You be seated. In other words, you know what I'm talking about. That didn't give you any help, did it? Because you wouldn't be in church. Happiness was as long as it lasted. Then you went and put your face in a place where your face should never be. Oh. And that's the only time you ever prayed. Kill me, Jesus. Just kill me. I hurt so bad. Just kill me. Hell can't be this bad. Just go ahead and kill me. Sick. Sick as a dog. Dated a girl, finally you could see her. And there she was. Ha, ha, ha. What's your name? The werewolf. Oh, yeah, okay. You were working for the devil, and he made you believe how good a time you was having. And you was losing your family, losing your health, losing your life. Because you just listened. You just listened. Did you know, I never heard of a gentleman like you. Southern gospel music. I didn't know what that was. You know what I thought? That might be some Leon Russell. You know, like Southern stuff. It was another world. You say, it's another world. There's another world out there. When I asked Jesus to come into my life, really didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how. You know how many times I went to church? But they couldn't tell me how. They didn't know neither. They didn't know. That's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. They just didn't know. And they didn't know for sure when you found out, when you went to places that thought they knew. They were looking more how you dressed than how much makeup your wife had on. And if she had a sleeveless dress on, oh, that was a sin before God. A sleeveless dress? Now, is that asinine? If an armpit turns you on, you got a demon spirit in you. Jesus, help me, Lord. Something wrong with you. Keep your arms down, girl. Keep your arms down. You got to be insane. I realize that 18, 16, 20, 22, I was trying to get saved and couldn't. I couldn't get saved. Nobody would lead me to God. I was trying to get saved. I was looking for something, man. And I thought drugs would get me there. And I've been to church so many times. And I'll never be guilty of that. Stand to your feet. I want to ask you today if I may give this altar call. Can I do that? Thank you, sir. I know it's a little late. I went so long. But I'll never be guilty. I'm not allowing you, who may not know God, to know God. How can people go to church for years and not know God? I was on that road. I'm going to ask you to meet my Jesus, my friend. I know him very well, but I also know my enemy very well. I don't fight him, because he's under my feet, but I know his tactics. And when you're in a war, you have to know your enemy's tactics, or you'll never defeat him. You got to know how he thinks, or you can never get ahead of him. And America's won a lot of wars because we had enough smart generals, colonels, people that could think on what to do, when to do it. And that's why we're celebrating July 4th. Freedom of a nation to go against the most powerful force of that day, which was Britain. And we are a bunch of colonies. But we had some smart people who wanted to know God. We had some generals like George Washington, Stonewall Jackson. We had people that understood some things. In all our foreign wars, we had the Dwight Eisenhowers and the General Pattons. And the Omar Bradleys, We had the Douglas MacArthurs, the greatest generation. Those great generals and people in World War I. They knew the tactics. Ladies and gentlemen, I know the tactics of the devil. And I told you his main tactics. He will never, those three is all he's got. He will just deviate between the three. I'm going to ask you to meet my friend. Every head bowed. Play me something soft. I've said it before and I have to say it again. Maybe you were like me. You grew up in church. You knew a lot about God, but you didn't know God. Oh, what a day to get free is today when we're celebrating the freedom of our country. Would you allow us to celebrate the freedom of your life? You might know about God, but I ask you, do you know God? I know about God, ladies and gentlemen. All religious Christianity religions teach you about God, but very few can teach you to know God. If that's you tonight, would you give me the honor of introducing you to God? That's called getting saved for the first time. I used to stop there because that's how I was trained as a minister of the gospel until the Lord said, he arrested my mind and said, always take it further, Jesse. Maybe you're in this building today and no, you're not backslidden to hell by no means, but you're not living the way you should live. And you need to come back to God. Some people call it rededicate. That's a good word. But I like something better. It's called selling out. Maybe a preacher hurt you. Maybe a Christian hurt you. Maybe I hurt you. If I did, I apologize. Would you give me the honor of going to the throne of God and say, Lord, here's a man, here's a woman. They've had some tough times, God. It's been rough on them in their Christian walk. But tough times don't last. Tough people do. So with your head bowed, please, and your eyes closed, if you'd like to know God, instead of just knowing about him, which means getting saved for the first time. Or, and be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be with God. And you need to come back to him. Would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Look at the hands. Thank you. I see those hands up in the balcony. Ushers, help me. Yes, if you see a hand, I don't see them. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. Up in the balcony here on the main floor. You may put your hands down. I see those hands. Could I see others way in the back there, sir? I see your hand. Up at the top, I see your hand. Look at the people. Thank you in the corner. I see your hand. You may put your hand up with the flag blouse. I see your hand. Thank you. Could I see others quickly? Yes, sir. I see your hand. Could I see one more? Yes, look at the people. Glory to God. Thank you. I see those hands. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One more. Yes, yes. Look at the hands. Thank you. You may put your hand down. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Way in the back. I see your hand. I want everyone to look at me. I would never lie to you. I've had so many people lie to me. I don't know why. I told God, if I ever do anything with my life, I would tell the truth. I would live the truth. My ministry is sexually pure. My ministry is financially pure. It's not hard to do that. It's called living with Jesus daily. You know why I'm so unique? Because I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. That's a wonderful thing to be free. Now, I know I'm going long and I should, but the Spirit of God is moving me on this. I want every one of you that lifted your hand, which took some integrity. You thought about it and you went, I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. I'm going to ask every one of you, not some of you, that lifted your hand because you're a person of integrity. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat and come stand here in front of everybody. What's wrong with that? Jesus hung on the cross in front of everybody. If you lifted your hand in the balcony or the main floor, get out of your seat and come and stand here. Give them a hand clap as they come from all over this building. If you're in the balcony, you can walk down the steps right here. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come from all over this building. Oh, Baba Saha. Come on, give them a hand clap. Just pile them in here, boys. Come on, look at them coming from the balcony. Come on. Just get as close as you can. Pile in here. Oh, glory to God. 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 Come on, people. Give them a hand clap. Look at this. Come on, little fella. I like it when kids come. You can come around this way. It'll be fine. Look at the people. Come a little closer. Kind of pack in here. We got a lot of people here tonight. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God. Look at the people. We hurt the devil tonight. We hurt him hard. We hit him hard tonight. We hit him. We damaged him tonight. I promise you, he ain't going nowhere tomorrow. He hurt you. He lost all power over you. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. I want to pray a prayer, then I'm going to ask Pastor Hagee to minister to you for a minute. I want everybody in this audience to pray this prayer also. I want you to repeat it after me. I want you to say it with your heart and confess it with your mouth. You that are watching by television or internet, wherever you may be watching, faith destroys all distance between God and man. I got saved watching Billy Graham on a television. You may be looking at the internet here. You may be looking at television. Same God touching these people will touch you. And I hope you can go to a good church. If you're watching in San Antonio, here's a good church. I know they got a lot of great churches in San Antonio. Don't misunderstand. I haven't been to those. But I know this church. And I know this pastor. And but if anybody is clean, John Hagee, Diana Hagee, clean. Peace. I like that. I honor you for that. Clean. Good people. You ready to pray? I'm going to ask everyone to pray with me. Repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there. Give him a hand clap. You made it.